yet many times we do it well, and other times we don't do it so well. It's interesting, as Sandy was talking about skiing, my daughter asked me to take her skiing with the school. So I said, that's fine, I'll try. I said, Dad, are you gonna come fully dressed? I said, of course, I'm gonna come fully dressed. This is the school that we have in the church. It's one of the schools that we have up in the diocese. So they take them up skiing, and I made sure, Sandy, I'm not sure where she is. I made sure to take a lesson with the kids before I went on the bunny hill, because we don't call it an A in Canada. We call it a V. It's just it's called a V. It's called a V, and you better know how to do a V, or else you won't be able to stop. Communication is very important, and it takes training. That's the point. It takes training. We're not born to communicate properly. Babies come out into this world, and their communication is done in a screaming way. And as they leave the world, people communicate the sadness also in tears and in crying and so on. We need to learn to communicate. I'm going to read to you something, and you tell me what it means. You probably heard this before. Scintillate, scintillate, globulo vivific. Fain would I fathom thy nature specific. Loftily poised in the ether capacious, strongly resembling a gem carbonaceous. Have you ever... it's very true. You've probably been robbed of your childhood, because I'll read it again. Scintillate, scintillate, globulo vivific. Fain would I fathom thy nature specific. Loftily poised in the ether capacious, strongly resembling a gem carbonaceous. You've all been put to sleep with twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. What was the problem? The language used, the words used. Maybe if I would have put the tune to it, it would have communicated the words that you know, of the actual words you know of the song. Before we begin communication or the talk, I just want you to know that the three sessions that I will be presenting will be divided as such. The first one is about defining communication. What is communication? The second one will be about the obstacles in communication. And the third one will be about skills or how to communicate effectively. Here is a quote that I found very interesting. I don't know if you agree or not with it. It says, Most conversations are simply monologues delivered in the presence of a witness. How many agree?
Yeah.
Yes? Yeah. And then I found another very interesting quote. It says, I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. And this is the break in communication between the sender and the receiver. So I'm wondering if we could do something a little bit different in the first session, where I get you to communicate with each other. So how many are we here? About 40? 30? 30-some? Okay. So we're going to, if you could find a partner, would that be hard? Yeah, any partner. You can change that partner tomorrow. Okay? I would encourage you to do that so that you can communicate with different people. Find a partner, and I'd like you to fill out this form as you communicate with your partner. This is express yourself form. One way of communicating, or one purpose of communication, is to express oneself. As you get this handout here, and you break out into a smaller duet, what I'd like you to do is think about what you dream about. This is as far as you as far as you'd like to express yourself. Okay, so what you dream about, what you think about, what you're afraid of, what you're interested in, on the weekends, what you like to do, what you're good at, what you're not good at, what you're, when are you glad, when are you sad, what is it that you don't believe in, what is it that you have difficulty with, when is it that you laugh, when is it that you then you cry, when is it that you get angry, and I love it when. So what you're, yes, so be efficient, let's put it this way, okay? One thing for each. What I'd like to ask you to do, find a partner, and I'm gonna come around, so if I don't see you with someone, maybe I'll put you with someone, if you don't mind. Then find a partner and write down answers to these questions and express them to your partner, to the other person. So you can say something like, so I dream about dot, dot, dot. Okay?
Is our partner supposed to write our answer?
Yes. Yes. So you're supposed to, you could fill this out for yourself, but then express it to your partner. And then we'll kind of check in with your partner whether they understood and how they understood and what they understood from what you said. Okay? It would be preferred, yes, if you can. Okay, we'll give this activity about 10 minutes, okay? Any questions? Okay, I'm going to come around, make sure you have a partner. Yes. So you express yourself on that sheet, and as you express yourself, you tell your partner. Okay, this is your sheets. This is yours.
Thank you.
Okay, so how are we doing? We're still on question number two. Okay. Everyone has a partner? Okay. You have two partners, that's good. She ran away. Okay, we'll give you another 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Please turn to me if you don't mind, and as comfortable as you feel to share some of what you learned about your partner. or partners? No, share with me. So tell me what I've learned about so-and-so is one or two things from that sheet. Can I get you, your attention over there, please? This is where you partner with me. Okay? Thank you. Who would like to... you share whatever you're comfortable to share. Okay. Yes. You want to share something? Yep.
Effective listening. Not hearing, just listening, and to make sure she...
1 second. Can I get your attention back there, please? Everyone, please. Thank you. You had a comment.
Yeah.
Please go ahead. What's your name? Sorry.
Mariam.
Okay. Go ahead.
Number one, to make sure it's effective listening, not hearing. Mm-hmm. Because the hearing, it doesn't mean I'm giving any attention. There should be eye contact. I'm listening her.
So Mariam, you're doing my third lecture. Yes. That's great. We'll get to talk about this in the third lecture if you don't mind waiting on that. But I'm wondering if you could share something from that sheet for your partner.
No, I took a little.
Uh-huh.
But what I felt.
Yes.
And listening, not hearing.
Who was listening? Your partner was listening, or you
no,
were
I
listening?
No, I mean I have to listen and okay. to make sure I got his okay. point.
So you have to sit back, put your stuff aside, and listen to what's being said. That's yeah. what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well taken. Well point. Good point. Okay. Can any of you share what's here? Yes. Do we have a cordless? Thank you. Here we go. All right. And then we're going to ask your partner. Who's your partner? Roxanne. So Roxanne, you're going to let us know if that was what you expressed.
So I learned about Roxanne that she's really perfectionist in her job.
Mm-hmm.
She really likes to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And she really loves God.
Wonderful. Good. Is that true, Roxanne?
Yes.
Anyone would like to share what their partner is afraid of?
Okay, maybe he doesn't want me to share about it. Paul? Okay, well, he's afraid of going to hell.
Okay, thank you.
He's straightforward.
Good. Somebody else, if someone else could share number six. My partner said that he or she is good at...
There you go. You're on the spot.
We haven't had a chance to talk about it.
Okay. Which one did you talk about then?
About going to heaven.
Okay, which number is that?
Number one.
Number I dream about...
She dream about...
Or she dreams, yeah, your partner.
Okay. She dreams about getting closer to God. Okay. And being a better person.
Okay. Well, I hope the dream gets realized. That's wonderful. This is good. You had your hand up? Thank you.
Okay. Number six?
Yeah.
Number six.
My partner is good at being understanding.
And who's your partner?
Mark.
Is that true? I think so. That's true. Very good. Excellent. Okay. One more. Has anyone answered number 10? Has anyone answered number 12? I'd like an answer to number 12. I laugh when...
Mark said that he laughs when people make fools of themselves.
Okay, he laughs when people make fools of themselves. Last one. Was I love it when? Has anyone gone that far?
I'm sure Mark has, right?
I love it when. Paul?
Huh? Oh, I was just waving.
No, you're just waving. Watch your communication, Paul.
Okay.
Right there.
That's not mine, though.
What do you want me to do? Which number?
The last one. I love it when.
I love it when it is warm.
Oh, yes. Nice. Well, you got to talk to one another a little bit. Some of you knew each other. Some of you didn't know one another. I'm just wondering, how many partnered with someone they don't know? That's good. You're good risk takers. This is good. This is good. Can you comment on the exercise? What have you learned as you've gone through this? What have you learned from the exercise? What have you learned about communication from the exercise? And then we'll start with the slides. What's your name?
My name is Irene.
Irene?
Yeah. When most people talk, they think about when they are in a conversation, most people think about what they are going to say rather than listening to the other person talking.
Right. Point well taken again. So your mind is actually occupied as you're listening, or quote unquote listening, hearing, your mind is occupied with your own stuff. Okay, good. So we're going to talk about this as we move along. What else have you learned from this exercise?
Practice. Communication is kind of practice.
Yes, you're
like,
right.
Like she mentioned the ski when she was on the ski trip.
Yes. What's your name?
Nabil.
Nabil said it right. Communication requires work, training. Okay, so what is communication? Can you define what communication is? Exchange of views and information, correct? What else? What is communication? Yes.
Okay, communication is what you can deduct from what is not said.
Okay, so reading between the lines is what you're saying. Okay. What is communication?
Anybody? Hmm? Listening to somebody else without judging them?
Listening without judging? Yes, over here.
Expressing your thoughts clearly through words.
Expressing your thoughts clearly through words. Excellent. Well, let's get into it. In the first session, we'd like to cover what is communication, what is the purpose of communication, why do people communicate? The role of communication in couple work when people, either couple as in opposite genders or just friends, what is the role of the communication, levels of communication, information processing, how do we process the information we hear, and what do we do with that information, principles of communication, and then we talk a little bit about feedback loops, and then in our next session we'll talk about obstacles in communication. So you said communication is an expression of thoughts, ideas, views. There is a listening component. There is reading between the line. There is a whole bunch of stuff in communication. What is the purpose of communication?
To express oneself.
To express oneself.
To enrich understanding.
To enrich understanding. Okay. Did you hear the quote that I mentioned earlier on? So there is also clarification that needs to take place because people could misunderstand. There could be some misperception. So communication work can decrease the stress between people. When people actually put the effort to communicate and communicate properly, the stress that exists in interpersonal relationship is reduced. And therefore, it impacts the need for control and domination. This is one of the studies that looked into communication between couples. You know that when people get together, let's say in marriage, a husband and wife, there is always this question mark: who's in control, and how will you exert power? Well, one way of exerting power, one of the major ways of exerting power, is through communication, through the information that gets relayed from one person to the other. All couples have differences and disagreements. Is that correct? Yes, of course. So that if couples have differences and disagreements, then would people ever have peace in their marriage? Would that be something that's is hard to achieve if everyone has differences? So what's the key in solving or working through differences and conflicts? If I were to tell you this couple has a lot of conflicts or has a lot of differences, those two were so different, does that show or does that map out a bad marriage? Then what's the key? What in communication? Correct. Accepting differences. Okay. Well, couples have differences and disagreements. One of the assessments that we use in premarital retreats and premarital courses is something called Prepare and Enrich. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Prepare and Enrich, but what it does basically, it's an assessment used to look at the differences between people. It is specifically looking for the differences and the agreements and disagreements. And the research behind this shows that all couples have differences and disagreements, but it's not in how many of those exist, but in how the couple handle them. So you could have many differences, but the way you handle the difference makes a big difference in the way the couple's relationship is. So when we think of communication, I think of communication as a triangle. It has three parts. It has at the bottom right there, it has right at the base, desire and attitude. In order to communicate, you have to have the desire to communicate. And in order to communicate properly, you have to have the right attitude to communicate. People think that all you need is the skill. The skill is important, absolutely important. It is the third word, the third part of that triangle. You need the skill. But what if someone does not have the desire to communicate? What if your friend or your partner or someone you know, your brother, your sister, they have a bad attitude, or they don't have the right attitude in communication, but they may have learned the skill in a workshop. How would the communication look like? It'd still be broken. So remember this: desire, attitude, and skill. What is attitude? What is the attitude of communication? What do I mean when I say attitude? What's that? So it has to do with behavior. Behavior and a good attitude will be behavior in a good way.
I think it has to do with like that it's not just going to be a one-way communication, that they have to be willing to listen and accept the ideas of the other. Because a lot of times people think that they have good communication skills, mm-hmm. but it's what they know and what they're saying, and that's it. So I think the attitude has a lot to do with being open and humble.
Openness, yes. Openness and humility. So other words for attitude could be like mindset, perspective. What if my attitude, back in the day, I used to be a pharmacist. So every pharmacist... every Egyptian who's a pharmacist, usually in Canada, eventually ends up buying a pharmacy. It's a trend in Canada. Anyone here from Canada? Oh, okay, back there. Yes. So you obviously with a business like that, you have to have an accountant. And some of the best accountants are Jews. Yeah, I mean, they're very good. And my wife and I, we went to do, we went to meet our accountant, do the books and all that. And he would shake my hands, would not shake her hands. And after a while, I asked him, I said, so-and-so, what's happening? He said, well, I can't really shake a woman's hand. He's Jewish, yes. He's an Orthodox Jew. And that's fine. I said, I respected that. That's his religion. That's his faith. The attitude there, the mindset, the perspective. My wife went out and said, how come he didn't shake my hands? I said, well, we'll ask him next time. And when we asked, his mindset, his perspective, the way he operates communicated something that could have been very negative until we clarified it. Also, that's attitude. How about desire? Desire is the longing or craving for something that brings satisfaction or enjoyment. So are you longing to speak to the person you're in relationship with? Are you longing to speak to your partner, your brother, your sister, and so on? We all have different feelings. So I have a nice sheet here called How Do You Feel Today? If you could give this one out. Yes. Now, I want you to pick how do you feel today from that sheet. Just one or two or whatever. If you have a couple of feelings, mixed feelings. How do you feel today? So yeah, circle whichever you're feeling today, or underline it to an X beside it. It's alphabetic, by the way. Just in case. Anyone ready to share how they feel today? Or they felt yesterday? If you don't want to share how you feel right now, how do you feel today? Yes.
I'm cold.
You're cold. Is that one? Oh, yes. You're cold. What? Any others? How are you feeling today? This feeling chart, by the way, is used especially when people cannot put words to exactly how they feel. So it just helps them express how they feel today. Anything over there? You seem to be having fun over there. Oh, you could, yeah. Yeah, speechless. So, if I can get your attention back on the screen here, this is for you, for your personal use. How do you feel today? One of the hardest things, if you're not used to expressing your feelings, is actually being able to put words to how you feel. And most people would tend to say, I am angry, I'm upset, when they're really disappointed, when they're really hurt, and so on. So this is more of a better repertoire of feelings. So when you cannot say these feelings, and this happens all throughout your life and throughout your day, and especially in interpersonal relationship, you go out with a friend and something happens and you feel sad or you feel upset, or something that your friend did or said that made you feel disappointed. And then you don't do anything. You just keep it in. What ends up happening is, instead of you expressing how you feel and tell your friend, you know, I felt very sad, or I felt hurt when you said the sarcastic comment, because this is how I took it. Instead of saying something like that, you keep it in. Now, with a friend, you're just with the friend today, then you're going home. But what if it's your own partner? What if it's your husband or your wife? What if it's your brother and sister, your mom and dad, where people you live with day in and day out? and you keep bottling it in, keeping it in. What ends up happening is that you begin to judge, you begin to distance, to avoid, to withdraw, to feel contempt, rejection, and hostility. When really, initially, what you ended up with was a feeling of disappointment. But because you didn't express that, because you did not express that, you still communicated a negative feeling. And then your friends wonder, or your partner wonder, why are you short with me? Why are you distant? I feel you're distant. Oh, no, there is nothing. Really? There is something, but instead of expressing it properly, it's still getting expressed, but it's being expressed in something called acting out, which is instead of really saying what's happening, you've bottled it in, and then people don't understand why your behavior has changed and you're communicating something. So levels of communication. There is in communication, there's something called verbal communication, the digital stuff. The words that you say, the words that you're hearing me say right now, the words that you said to each other in that exercise, those are called digital. Those are the actual words chosen to express something. But part of the communication, part of communication is the nonverbal. And I'm sure you understand how important the nonverbal is. And the nonverbal is the tone of voice, the tempo of your voice, body expressions, gestures. And these are highlighted when you end up with intercultural mixes, not just intercultural as in completely different cultures, just different family systems, different families, where in one family, she's coming from a family where everyone spoke very softly. To raise your voice is to say, come to eat. Come to eat, okay? Whereas he comes from a family where they're very expressive and they're very talkative and they're very loud. And you could imagine, as we'll see one of the scenarios tomorrow, where this could become a conflict. They may misunderstand each other, and there's stuff that happens unnoticed, where the more she perceives him as being loud and therefore angry, the less she is opening up. And the less she opens up, the more he doesn't understand why she's like that, because he's used to a communication up here. Okay, so body expressions outside the words themselves. So nonverbal, these are outside the words. The context is the analogical, and I'll spend some time speaking about the context, because the context is almost everything. It's so key. That's the environment, the place, the situation in which that communication took place. The verbal communication is very nonspecific. So the words one say are very nonspecific. They don't really convey the actual meaning. No wonder people can misunderstand one another over email and text. And that's why people now use the picture, the emojis, right? Like you send a picture to kind of say, when you say, I love you, you don't mean it sarcastically. You say, I love you. Or if you want to say, I love you, or I've been waiting here for a very long time, and you want to express how you're feeling, you add a picture. So for example, before we get to the examples, in a message, this was one of the studies that was done where it shows that 7% of your words, the actual words, are influential. 7% influential. The tonal aspect of communication contributes 38%, and the body language contributes about 55%. So you can see that the words themselves, they have a contribution, but not as much as the nonverbal, not as much as how your face looks when you speak, not as much as how your gestures or the tone of your voice. So, the words that are used, the digital, without its analogical component, basically how you say it and what context, so you have digital, analogical. Digital are the words, analogical are the non-verbal and the context. They are very non-specific. For example, the garbage is piling up. What does it mean? Here's a digital component. The garbage is piling up. What does it mean? Someone needs to take it out. Do you see that in the digital? Is it written in the digital? No. Okay, what else could this mean? The garbage is piling up. You're lazy because you're not taking, so here is a... Yes. What else? What else are you reading here? Yes, Paul. We throw too much stuff away. Yes.
Mm-hmm. If I don't do it, it doesn't get done.
If I don't do it, no one is ever doing it in this place. Mm. So if I'm sitting in the kitchen with my teenage son and I'm looking straight at him, it may mean your job is to take the garbage out, do something about it. But if I'm driving up in an area in Canada called Muskoka with my 30-year-old son, it may mean, oh, look what the city is turning out to be. Obviously, I'm not asking my son to get out of the car and take the garbage out, right? So here the context becomes key, important, very important. I love you. What does it mean? Please try to explain the word I love you with more words than I love you.
I want something. I want something.
I want something. Where'd you guys... This is not written there. I love you. I want something. What else? I'm mad at you. It's so interesting how you can get this out of the word I love you.
Reverse psychology.
Reverse psychology. Yes, sir. Forgive me. Mm. 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 Yes. I love you, or just get out of my face.
I can't stand your family.
Okay. But this has to do with what? With context. Again, I'm explaining the context here. Context and tone of voice shape the meaning. If you say to someone, I love you, versus, I love you, get out of my face. You know, so the tone of voice is also important. And I say that because when a husband says to his wife, I love you, she could say something like, or you're just saying that. If she doesn't get it in the right tone. Okay? That's just an example. And so many other examples. Tone of voice is very important. Context is very important. If my daughter comes to me and says, Dad, I need to go, I need you to pay for my skiing trip and all this, and I need to go to Quebec City, and I want to do all these things. Dad, I love you. See? Then I want something, right? What's that? They say it in many different ways, I guess. But do you remember the quote that I used at the beginning? What you understood is different than what I really meant. So maybe Sayedna will be talking about the languages of love tomorrow. Exercise. Guess the meaning. Honey, I'm tired. Stop nagging. Leave me alone. Do the stuff. You're doing such a great job. Keep going. Don't stop, keep going.
We have a loud crowd, they don't need a mic.
Yes, I think they're good. I think you're going to be all over the place. You're doing such a great job. Could that be done in a sarcastic way? You're doing such a great job. Did you see my eyes? Did you see my eyebrows? Did you see my head tilt? Huh? So again, tone, gestures, and so on. I will show you what I mean. You know, just your reaction tells me something about our culture. This this is a simple father who tells his son, I'll show you what I mean. But you took it differently. We take it differently. I'll show you what I mean. I'll show you. Therefore, so nice and all these exercises, the point is communication is one of the hardest tasks that people do. It's not easy. And for all of us who've tried in the past to send a certain message and been misunderstood over and over, and you get stuck sometimes. You get stuck in a corner where no matter what you're trying to say, how you're trying to say it, because of an earlier communication that went bad, you're kind of stuck. And that communication does not have to be your words. It could be your looks. It could be your attitude. It could be your desire to communicate. It could be something you said in a certain context, and so on and so forth, with a certain tone of voice. Most couples, when they do not communicate well, they get down on themselves. And I hear when I use the word couple, I really mean any two people. So when you don't communicate with your colleagues, you get down on yourself. And when you get down on yourself, are you likely to communicate better the next time? Of course not. Because you get down on yourself and you say, well, I don't think I'm expressing myself properly. I don't think I think I have a problem with communication. I don't think I'm good at that. And guess what? All these things kind of put you down and make your next communication harder. And especially also an intimate relationship. And this happens where people feel there is a wedge, there is a gap. They cannot get in touch over some simple stuff anymore. So watching the nonverbal, watching for the context, this is meaning producing. Whatever we say, it always has a meaning. And that meaning could be the meaning you intended or the meaning that was perceived or the gap in between. Well, I never really intended to hurt you when I said that. Oh, you intend all you want. But I was hurt. We'll talk about the principles of communication in a second. How communication can result in conflict. So, how do problems arise in communication? One of the ways is that when the analogical aspect of communication is the relationship defining aspect. When we communicate, we define who we are and who others are in relationship to us. So that's key. And some people don't like that definition. I'll give you some examples. Every time I'm interacting with a person, I'm defining who that person is relative to me. Interpersonal conflict is usually over the analogical and not the digital. So the words themselves, sometimes they're not the main problem, but it's more the nonverbal. Tell me what's happening here. He's giving her a lesson. She doesn't care. Have a look at it. Tell me what's happening. Yes. It looks like he's saying, I told you so. Okay. Paul, did you say something? He sees something in her ear. That's possible. Can you speak up? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It looks like could be a blaming conversation. He's calling her like a child.
Why are they negative? What if he just likes her earrings?
Yes, that's possible too. But Paul, that's possible. But you speak, but Paul, you speak as if that's the truth. Yes. Okay. What else do you see there? All that you said could be true. It all depends on the context and depends on what's happening. But we could tell that she's not interested. Or she's taken by what's being said. Or maybe she's about to cry. Who knows?
Maybe she's watching her kids.
Not really. No, Paul. No, I have to say no on this. Okay. So, here. Husband says, husband comes home, says, what's for dinner? Remember what we're saying here? How do conflicts arise? And we talked about definition. When I communicate with you, I'm defining who you are in relationship to who I am. So husband comes in, says to the wife, what's for dinner? Could be a simple question. Like the answer could be, well, that's what's for dinner. However, in a different context, different moods, different day, this could mean something else. What's for dinner? And the wife says, figure it out for yourself. What happened? What is the relationship definition that took place with the question, what's for dinner? Yes, do you see that? You said she felt as a servant. So the definition that she took from, or could have, may have taken in that communication is, you're defining me as subservient to you. I am serving you. I am a maid. Okay? What's the problem in what the husband said? Well, the wife was defined, in this case, was defined in a certain way as a subservient to the husband, one who is supposed to prepare the food. The wife doesn't like this definition.
Hold on, I got a question. Are we saying that being a servant means that you're subservient to somebody?
No. Okay. No, but subservient.
We're combining them in the same statement.
No, but no.
In marriage, shouldn't the husband and wife both serve each other? Why would that be perceived as negative?
Right, so what's your definition of subservient? Good. That's the word that is used here. Subservient means she took it in a way that made her come up with this definition. He thinks he is better than me, or he's higher than me. I am subservient to him. I'm supposed to be preparing this and that in context. Okay, we're not talking about a general communication, but a definition here. And this is not far-fetched, by the way. This happens where he says, you know, it could be easy, the kids, mom, what's for dinner? Or dad, are you driving me to this place? I'm not your chauffeur. I'm not saying these are right expressions. I'm not saying they're right responses. But I'm talking about reality. They do happen. And because the reason they happen is because there is a definition that one person is not accepting. And I'm not saying that the other person meant that definition. Okay? Yeah. Yes, but I'm saying where do conflicts arise? One of the areas is when a definition is made that one partner doesn't like. And so the wife here is reacting because she says, I'm not a servant cook. And she responds in a way that defines the husband in relationship to her. You're not my master. Okay? In the wrong sense of master. Yes. It could be this, it could be that, but the point I'm trying to make here is one of the sources of a conflict is definition making, wrong definition making, or inappropriate definition making. That's the point of this slide, okay? So don't get into the husband and wife, they're doing really well, they're fine. There's not a problem with this couple, okay? But the point I'm trying to highlight here is when someone speaks to you, and let's say they speak to you with a certain tone, you don't like it because it defines you in a certain way in relationship to that person that you don't like, okay? Or that you like, and that will take the communication in a different way, will spin it differently. She could have assumed that, or she could sit with you and say, you haven't lived with me, you don't know what's happening, that's everyday thing, and she tells me this and that. So whether she assumed or not, at the end of the day, there was a definition. That's the key point. Definition of roles. And be.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely possible. At the end of the day, she made a definition. And the definition she didn't like, or she perceived the definition that she didn't like. When we speak about obstacles of communication, we'll talk about this, how her day wasn't going so well, her mood was altered, and her mood filtered out was a filter that brought about a misconception. But at the end of the day, it's a definition. So Most conflicts in communication stem from how a person defines him or herself with respect to others and vice versa. So context and tone play a role in defining persons and relationship, what we talked about so far. And the essence of communication conflict is who defines the other and how. Who defines the other and how? When the wife says to the husband, who comes from a family where mom did everything for dad, dad would come in, he's greeted at the door, and dad would go in and he would sit down, and then the plates are put. He eats, he leaves, and the plates, they walk to the sink. At least as far as he thinks, that's what's happening, right? A son comes from that family, becomes a husband one day, and could, I'm saying could, not must, could come in, opens the door, he's not greeted at the door. Says, what's happening? He says, okay, well, maybe she's busy preparing my food. He goes in, sits down, and then she says, honey, could you make the rice? Rice? What rice? Huh? The point here, there is definition, and these definitions are always projected on the background that I lived through and the way I was brought up and so on. So the conflicts could arise there with definitions that could be negative, could be positive. Conflict stems from how I experience you defining me in our interaction and is based mainly on analogical communication. So the digital is good and all, but is not as important as the analogical. So the last part is the principles of communication. So those are principles, things that I'd like to make straight out and clear on communication. First principle is one cannot not behave. One cannot not behave. In other words, there is a nonsense to the phrase, I'm doing nothing. Because of the analog in communication. Are you upset? No, I'm not. Is something bothering you from me? No. Well, one cannot not behave because we are in constant action and constant communication with people, even when we don't use the digital. Key to understanding couples' dynamic is to fish out the impacting, unclaimed lack of behavior, reading between the lines. Now, having said that, we'll talk about mind reading later. Mind reading is not a very good thing. But trying to fish out what's not being said becomes an important thing. And expressing what has not been said is also an important thing. The second principle, the first thing is one cannot not behave. Second thing, since one cannot not behave, therefore it follows that one cannot not communicate. So we're in constant communication all the time. Who's talking in this lecture mainly? I am. But who's communicating in this lecture? All of us. When you sit back like this, or you sit back like this, or you start wondering, a speaker can tell, right? So can tell what? Can tell your communication, whether you're bored or whether you're, you're misunderstanding or not understanding, or you're following, or you're interested in, or you're excited, and so on. So we cannot not communicate. We communicate all the time. Communication is what humans do the most in their life. I didn't say anything to her. Doesn't mean I didn't communicate anything to her. So when someone says, I don't know why she's upset, I never said anything bad to her. Well, maybe you didn't say the digitals, but you've definitely communicated something. Or else, assuming that people are sane in communication, of course. Principle three. And this is a key one. The meaning applied to or ascribed to a given behavior is not necessarily the true intended meaning of the behavior. It is, however, the receiver's personal truth, the received perceived message. So in other words, someone might say, I never really intended to do this, or I never really intended to convey that message. Nevertheless, the person receive that message. Okay? And we have to really understand that, because arguments build up over this. Well, I never really intended. Well, that's fine. I'm okay with the fact that you never intended. But are you okay with the fact that despite your intentions, something else was communicated? No. She shouldn't feel this way. He shouldn't feel this way. Hold your horses here. You didn't intend it, but don't take away how the person felt. And this is quite important. This is an obstacle of communication. It is hard to put aside my personal perception, the truth, to allow room for the sender's truth to emerge. So even though this is not what I intended to say, but having heard you say this is what you understood, that's okay. I can now see it from your perspective. You know what? Because it happened with me before. Just turn the tables around. It happens all the time where I get, for example, you come in and you say, so-and-so, every time this colleague of mine, every time we pass by each other, he never says hi. Or today, this morning, he never said hi. And this afternoon, he never said hi. And you take that as a rude action or a negative communication. And then you sit down with this person and say, why are you doing this? I never really intended to do that. I don't mean to be rude. I was in a hurry those couple of times. Fair? Problems arise because of this principle. Finally, the feedback loops between couples. This is where the perception comes in. Interpretation and action. Husband does something. The wife interprets it in a certain way. You can have husband, wife, you can have brother, sister, you can have friend, one friend, two, partner, one partner, two. She interprets it in a certain way. She acts based on her own interpretation. And then he sees what she did, so he acts, he interprets it in a certain way. And based on his interpretation, he acts, and so on. So you can see this becomes what? A loop, right? So, for example, let's start with this one here. Wife says action, so action is the visible. If you're videotaping the couple, you'd see this. The interpretation happens up here in the mind. So wife says, why didn't you call to let me know that you will be late? Husband says, she wants to control me and overpower me. Okay, you may find, how does the husband get to that? Well, the husband has a lot of, filters in mind, a lot of previous stories, whatever it is. He interprets this action of asking, why didn't you call to let me know that you'll be late, as she wants to control me and overpower me. So what does he do? He answers, why are you acting like my mother? She hears that, he says, and she interprets it, he must be hiding something from me, because that's what children do from their mother. Okay? And then she thinks he must be hiding something from me. So what does she say? She gets angry and suspicious, and she begins to nag and maybe go over his stuff. He sees that happening. He thinks she does not trust me. Here we go again. Because he's interpreting this way, he withdraws and hides. Because he hides and withdraws, now it must be something he cannot confront me with. And then the loop continues. This is a negative loop, negative feedback loop. What's happening? There is something on the interpretation level, and there is action. Tell me, if you were to draw an arrow, where would the logic go? Where does it seem logical? From interpretation to action, or from action to interpretation? Interpretation to action. It's so logical to her to start nagging because she interpreted whatever he did as he's hiding something. But to him, her nagging is illogical because he's not in her mind. And this is really what ends up happening in our relationships in general, where we interpret, we filter in a certain way, and we act. And people think, why are you acting this way? Well, when I express myself, people may then understand. So what do you think? How can we break this loop? So how can we just break this negative feedback loop? Where are the breaking points to stop this? Yes. Communication. Where? The interpretation. That's yes. So the wife, for example, you have actually four entry points here. See how there are four ways to stop this negative loop from, you know, getting worse and worse. And by the way, the further I've gone to what, number eight, but it gets really complicated. And people don't talk about anything. They just keep looping, looping. And it becomes self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, I knew this. I knew this is going to happen. I knew he meant this. And then it gets just complicated. And when a person comes in after this loop has gone in for about 100 times, they come in to speak to Abuna or to a counselor as if they're standing in court. You know, let me show you my evidence. Well, all this evidence really is a mesh of this. So where can we come in? We can come in from interpretation. She says, why didn't you call to let me know that you will be late? Husband thinks she wants to control me and overpower me. And then he says, well, you know, he can break it right there and say, I don't mind telling you, but it seems like you're trying to control here. What's happening? Instead of just thinking it, he puts it in a question. He puts it in a question. He says here, why are you acting like my mother? He must be hiding something from me. I'm not saying that this works 100% all the time, but she would say something like, well, I'm getting this vibe that you might be hiding something from me, and I don't feel good about this. What's happening? Rather than what, act based on the interpretation. And he could very well say, no, I'm just very tired, that's all. I'm sorry. I don't mean for you to feel this way. So by her questioning her interpretation, by him questioning his interpretation and verbalizing it, they break the cycle. But where else can one enter into this feedback loop? One second. Where? Yes. So, first sentence, why didn't you call to let me know that you will be late? Sure, yeah, I was worried. So something around the action level. I may have misinterpreted what you said, but I'll stop my action. I won't move to the action. I may not question my interpretation for now, but at least I will not act. You may very well say, I know very well that he's actually hiding something. It's clear he is hiding something. But then I don't have to act in a nagging way. Because the more I nag, the more I observe him withdraw. So I may stop that. Or he may stop the withdrawal. If he doesn't withdraw as much, she may not nag as much. So you can either enter from husband, from on interpretation level or action level, or from wife on interpretation or action level. Imagine the couple both working together to stop this. They have four entry points. They can break this. They can break the negative cycle, and so they can begin also a positive cycle. Yes.
I was just answering your question, and I was just going to say that she can change the way she asks and give him the benefit of the doubt initially. Be like, you know, I really was worried about you. I missed you. Are you doing okay? Mm-hmm.
Correct. Correct. So the way that she'd express her and put her question. Right. Right.
Or the way he answered it.
What about the way he answered it?
That's my opinion.
What would you want to say about that?
The way he answered it? I mean, it could have been as simple as she said it in a regular way, and he took it that way, but simply answering and saying, well, I'm sorry, I was busy on the phone, or I didn't realize that you're going to get worried, or saying it in any other way instead of going the whole 100 extra miles for no reason.
So change interpretation or change action. Imagine the couple can come to a point where the husband begins to sense her anxiety and says, something is bothering you. What's happening? Now, this is moving even further in preventing the conflict. And this happens when the two feel very secure with each other and they've kind of got acquainted with each other in better terms and so on. But at least the point I'm making here is do not trust your interpretation 100%. The best thing to do when you're in doubt is to ask, is to clarify. But we're too shy because there are obstacles in our communication, things that push us back. Oh, I can't really say that. And that's what we'll talk about in our next session. What holds us back from communicating, what prevents communication from getting clearer and better between two people. So for now, just remember, communication is about a certain level of expression. It has a digital, it has an analogical, a nonverbal, a context that's very important. It also is relationship defining. And whether you like that definition or not, you will act based and or react based on that definition. It also has to do with filters, and it has to do with the way you process. It has to do with your interpretation, and has to do with the actions and how you or others interpret that. There are three principles in communication. One of them is one cannot not behave. One, therefore, cannot not communicate. And the meaning of or the impact of a behavior is in the behavior itself, not in the intention of the person who acts. This is the third one. So don't be surprised when someone says, when someone comments on something you did in such a way that surprises you. Wow, I really never thought. Well, I didn't intend. Good. I'm glad you clarified, but appreciate the fact that other people could be impacted by your behavior, despite the fact that you had different intentions. Okay. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.